Today's theme is think big. When you're little and all your uncles are over 6 foot, you're hoping you're going to be big, like the family on your mother's side. My mom is 5'7". My mom is the only one of 8 children under 6 foot, 4 boys, 4 girls, and she's 5'7". Most of my uncles were 6'3", 6'6", 6'4", 6'2", in that sense. They were big. And then the aunts were all 6 foot. Think big. When you think about getting a house or an apartment for the very first time, you're getting out of a college dorm, you think big. Room, closets, and stuff like that. And 1,100 square feet seems big. Then you have a family. Now you're married, you have 2 kids, and you're thinking a house, and you need more space, and the girls need their room, and you think big. Now the girls are married, and our house is 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, and there's just the 2 of us, and it's too big. You start to reverse course. You start to downsize. So after thinking big in our journey of houses, when else do we think about downsizing? Job responsibility toward retirement, slowing down a bit. We might think of it in terms of that way. Downsizing. A lot of people think about downsizing every January 1 with New Year's resolutions and downsizing one's capacity of taking up space, So we might think in terms of that. Downsizing. I think more commonly for us, it's thinking big. In athletics, it's thinking, the big dance, which is coming up with March Madness for basketball on the college level. Thinking big and the professional is a dynasty. How many championships does this team have in its history? Thinking big. And there's all kinds of genre in which we obviously start to, increase. Watching House Hunters, for example, I'm watching 20-year-olds look for a house. They have a budget of anywhere $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, and they're looking at a kitchen, and they're saying, this is too small, and this dining room's too small, and the backyard is too small. And, she has to have her room for her office, and he has to have his office, and the kids all have to have their own room. And I remember growing up with 5 other kids in the house, because I'm one of 6, and the boys shared a room, and the girls shared the room, and mom and dad shared a room, and us boys thought that was unfair. Mom and dad, just 2 people in one room, Why don't you think bigger? And I'm thinking, where do young people get the idea? And I just think it's our humanity. We're always thinking more and more. You go to a food buffet, you got a little salad plate. Hardly anybody takes a little plate at a buffet. Take the big platter. We think big and we fill it up, and more often than not, it's more than we can eat. Today in the prophet Isaiah, he's talking to a people that stop thinking. Sounds strange, doesn't it? But more specifically, they stop thinking about God. They stop thinking about how big God is, how great God is, how awesome God is. In fact, they gave up this great, awesome, mighty God for all kinds of little gods. which really meant all kinds of nothing. Because a false god is absolutely that. It's nothing. In chapter 42, God gave the word to Isaiah about thinking big, about he was going to send a servant. And then he mentions that yet here in 42 he's going to also send Babylon. Because of their hard-heartedness, because of their obstinance, because of their stubbornness, because of their idolatry, the Babylonian Empire was going to come and take captive. But the God that they forgot to think about, for the God that is really big, bless you, he then says today's text. That's the context of thinking big. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. For the people of Israel, such words would bring out the word Exodus. When was their chariots and armies and warriors? Because these were different classes of military personnel. When did that happen? When was there the great sea and the waters and the path? And that was when the people of Israel were helpless and they stopped at the edge of the water and they ended up looking and beholding the power of God when he divided the waters of the Red Sea. And they were able to be led out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, across the Red Sea, and out into the Sinai wilderness. And there God showed his mighty act. When they thought they had no future, because that's what they said to Moses, you brought us out here to perish. It was better that we stayed in town. And now the army is going to kill us. Here, God shows them he who is greater than the chariots, than the armies, and all of that, greater than the waters itself, and the power of the Red Sea. God divides the waters, brings them across, and when the Egyptians are then crossing on that same dry ground, he lets the waters come back, and it drowns, and it wipes them out. The remembrance of Exodus was not to say, that's the God of the past. You know how we used to say, I remember when, and then we talk about how things were good or better than the current times, how things were different and nicer. But at this point, he's saying, remember the God who made the path, the God who had those chariots and those warriors and those armies and all the horses. And it says they lie down not to get up. Remember the God who wiped them down. In other words, pronounced judgment upon them and eternal death. There was no life left. There was no getting up. Remember that God. Because that God is about to do something special. When we forget about God of the past, it tends to lead into forgetting the God of the present, and that leaves you with no God for the future. For the people of Israel to pronounce and proclaim the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, you know, and just these very bold words. There was nothing wimpy about it. There was nothing timid about it. There was nothing weak about him. Sometimes we make the mistakes of thinking about the God of Abraham, we remember Abraham. The God of Moses, we remember Moses. But it was always pointing about the God who worked through, the God who did for, the God who raised up, the God who, you know, was served by these people and all that he accomplished. The Exodus was accomplished not by Moses, but by God. And the people of Israel had forgotten that God. And there was a judgment coming. And it was the Babylonian Empire that would take captive all of Judah, including the holy city. And you would think, after that, there's nothing. There is no hope. But the prophet reminds us that no matter how bad it seems, according to our earthly measurement of historical devastation, no matter how bad it seems, according to political powers and authorities and armies and rulers, God has a path. The God who made the path in the sea is the God who is sending the servant from 41, chapter 41, and God who is serving the servant for his people. And the God who will watch over the people in their captivity is the God who will bring them back to the holy city when the captivity time is over in his timing. And that same God will preserve his people. When we start looking to the powers that be in our own might, to armies and warriors and chariots, to the things that give us a sense of presence and power and prestige and might and strength and independence or even invincibility, we will often succumb to a very heady thing. And we will end up in trouble spiritually. When we look at the United States today, do you think we've forgotten about God? I think so. I think God gets a lot of lip service, but not the God of the Scriptures. Not the God who stands for stuff. Right and wrong and honesty and justice and love and mercy. Because the God that humanity wants is promiscuous and meek and mild and the, you know, completely embracing lifestyles and choices without judgment. There is no ridicule in the God of today. And that means there is no sin. The people of Israel are being copycatted today by the people in America. More and more we set God aside. Now how are we to feel about that? I have grandchildren that are growing up. And there's a part of me that's concerned about what the future is in store for them if Christ doesn't come soon. The message to Isaiah is the same message to us. Think big. Christ has come. Christ has defeated death, the devil. Christ has overcome the bondage of sin. Christ has proclaimed his truth. And because of that, and the promise that God's word does prevail, we don't have to be so fearful and frightened and hopeless. Think big. But not apart from God. Politicians are not our salvation. A great economy is not our salvation. More money in the bank is not eternal life. stainless steel appliances is not the ultimate gift. Think big. And our hope starts to increase when we envision the bigness that God has set before us in this gift of the forgiveness of our sins. And through the cross and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we think and see big. The bigness of our life is not in the size of our home or our budget or our bank account. It is in Christ in whom we glory. It is Christ whom we praise. To think big of, you know, there's this great debate between some of the politicians. You know, one says America's never stopped being great. You know, and the other one says we're going to become great. And now they're going back and forth. And I think apart from God, nothing's great. And we're facing a dilemma. And it doesn't begin in Washington. It begins here. Among God's people in every congregation. It begins here with God's people focusing on God. To know that what's big in our life is not legislated, purchased, you know, won, lottery, a gamble, or anything else. It has already been declared on Good Friday and Easter. If you have anxiety about the times, I understand those fears. But look beyond the fears and see who rules the world. And it's God. It's not mankind. Think big. The kingdom of heaven. Think big. God's righteousness and love. Think big. The glory of God. You can't get bigger than Him. And always through His Word, God is about to do something. To bring another soul from lost to redeemed. To call another child of God out of this earth to home. God is always about to do something. It's just for us who believe to see the big. And it's beyond ourselves. Amen.